Testing, checking. Yes! Let's go!
This is the Family Cast! This is the Family Cast! Food and music is life! Oh, yes! Food and music is life!
That's good, because they don't want to miss anything, you know?
Yep.
Dope. Well, good. What city are you in today?
Tehachapi.
Tehachapi, California. So many memories there. Everybody, ladies and gentlemen, everyone in between, I'm talking to a longtime homie, Andy, from formerly of Die Hard Youth, now Ill X Communication, if you're on Instagram or other things. But yeah, what's up, Andy?
Not much. Psyched to be here. Psyched to be talking to you. It's awesome to see your face.
Hey.
It's been a long time. Yeah, lots of good shows. A lot of good Nate's been posting all those photos. I don't know if you remember Nate from Baker.
I do, yeah. That's Nate. I forget his last name. Bird? Is it? No.
Yep.
Yeah, Nate, okay. Yep. He used to book Dogwood and almost every band that played at Jerry's Pizza back in the day in Bakersfield. So kind of a world-famous small-town, big-town booker at the same time. He would book us all over that whole area, actually.
Yeah, he did Fresno and Lancaster and Tehachapi. He had his fingers in a bunch of spots.
Yeah, so between him and like Eddie Numskull, we were booked like all the time up in the area around the central area. So that's shout out to Nate, shout out to Jerry's Pizza, and of course to Tehachapi, was it the community center or something?
Yeah, let's probably play the Tapa Center. There's a few spots, but the Tapa Center was the one where the bigger shows were. And yeah, Nate posted a bunch of pictures not too long ago.
Mm-hmm. back when I was slim. And that was just so fun. We always look forward to playing in that area, especially Bakersfield and Tehachapi and surrounding areas, I guess. But like, we always knew that we'd probably play with Die Hard Youth if it was more of a harder edge show versus like one of the pop punk shows.
Yeah, we always asked to play with you guys. We always had fun. We liked you guys a lot. So.
That's cool. And now I see you're repping the 185 Mile South hat, Beanie.
Oh,
shout out to you guys. I ran across you again recently listening to that podcast. And I didn't actually know that you were in Ill Communication. So this is really funny. I didn't know. And so when Matt sent me that he sent me the playlist of, hey, listen to these songs. Do you want to do some more food pairings? And I was like, I picked your song. And I didn't know it was I don't know. Is anyone else from Die Hard Youth in Ill Communication?
No. A couple of guys from the Warriors / No Motive, like Oxnard Tehachapi dudes.
My favorite.
Yeah, kind of old buddies that, yeah.
Who is it?
What's that?
Which guys?
Roger's in it. Roger from No Motive and Warriors.
Tomorrow?
yeah.
He's
the glue that holds every band from that area together. Not every band.
No, he's dope. He's super dope.
And then Joe Martin is another guy. He played in the Warriors back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
He's all been around Tehachapi. Roger would go up to Joe's house. Joe's got a nice studio. So
okay.
And Roger's a super good engineer. So
good to know.
Dance up there, and it's a rad place. Joe's house kind of overlooks it's called Heart Flat, like just overlooks this beautiful landscape, and it's a cool place to hang out and play, record music, write music, whatever.
I gotta get up there.
I definitely check it out. So Roger was always around. That's kind of how we all together. Talking about doing a band for about 10 years, and it was like, oh, finally did it. So that's how we're playing. So none of the other guys from Die Hard Youth, they all live in other states now. And
I know the feeling. were you in the Warriors too?
No, okay. That was just Tehachapi guys.
Got it.
Younger kids than me that kind of after Die Hard you started, they're like, oh, that's how you do a band, let's do one that's actually good. And so they did a toured and wrote records and did a bunch of cool stuff. So they're still around, they're still playing. Mm-hmm. They're writing music and stuff, so just kind of they're older too, so they got families and stuff, so they're not as active.
Is that the definition of old is like stopping touring and having a family?
Yeah.
That's fun. So when did you start Ill Communication?
We started it probably, I don't remember the year. It was probably a good 3 or 4 years ago, though. It was before COVID. Like I said, me and Joe and Roger would hang out at his house a lot. When Roger would come up to record bands, I'd go out there and hang out. And we just talked about doing a band. We've been talking about doing a band forever and ever. I mean, we've been friends 20 something years, all those guys.
Yeah.
kind of like, oh, we should all do a band together and kind of just, let's just do a record. And so one day, finally, Roger, I showed up and he was like, hey, man, I wrote these like 5 songs. Sounds like one long song, like write some lyrics and we're going to like record them and then we'll do something. And then we got lucky because Danny and Donnie, the 2 twins from the Warriors, came out and basically learned the songs. And we did our first show like at a house show out here in Tehachapi. And it was actually super rad. Just a bunch of friends came out and like the local like kind of scene, which is kind of a lot smaller now, but it was a cool at that venue. It was just an old like kind of bedroom. And so we played. And then since then, we just decided like, yeah, maybe we'll kind of, maybe we'll write some songs and kind of do a band. So
yeah,
then COVID hit and it all got derailed, but sure, we're playing every once in a while. And we wrote an LP coming out soon, Safe Inside Records out of San Diego. So
hey, shout out.
Yeah, for sure.
That's dope. How'd you hook up with Safe Inside?
Just Bert. I'm sure you know Bert from Built to Last, and he's been around forever. And Built to Last, when I first started going to hardcore shows, was like one of the cool bands. Like,
oh my god, Built to Last shows were a lot of fun. I think I saw them open for Biohazard.
Oh really? Oh, that's
there's a rat. there's a few fights, but yeah. You know, Bert and some other, you know, the NIV crew and everybody would like, hey, stop the fighting, you know, like, so. That's cool. Did they ever get Built to Last, get up to Tehachapi area and play?
No. And actually, when I lived in Sacramento when I was in the military, and that's when I saw Built to Last. They came out and played with, I think, Powerhouse and maybe Hoods or something. I'm like, oh, that band's cool. They're like, they're like New York style, but they like live exactly. in California. Yeah.
And, they live by the beach.
Yeah. And then once I moved back to Tehachapi, we started doing bands and stuff and hanging out. We used to go down to San Diego a lot and go to shows at the Shea Cafe and stuff. And
yeah.
So and all that, they were always playing then. So I kind of knew who Bert was, and we'd met a few times before that and throughout the years. And then I just noticed his label was kind of taking off and he did some cool records. So I'm flying over to hear that.
Oh, okay. No, I didn't hear it. Look out.
It's snowing here and all this crazy stuff.
What?
Yeah.
You live in the city of Tehachapi and it's snowing?
Yeah. Yeah. It snows here. Yeah. Dang. We're at high elevation. We're like 4,500, 5,000 feet. So.
Oh, I never realized that.
Yeah. You missed the snow then.
I always thought it was a valley or something.
No, we're in the mountains. Yeah. Yep.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah. So anyways, we wrote some songs and we're like, I've never put out an LP with a band, like on vinyl.
Really?
Just 7 inches. Yeah. I've only been 7 inches. So,
cause you're so hardcore.
No, just we wrote LPs. Just that was when CDs were the only thing, you know, and no one, the Die Hard Youth records weren't good enough to do an LP. I don't think so.
You were ahead of the game though, with the vinyl, you know, doing 7 yeah. inches only. Yeah. That's so, that's what I mean. You're so hardcore in that regard.
Oh,
you know,
yeah. We talked to Bert and we had a couple other people that wanted to do it. And Bert, just knowing who he was and what he's about, was kind of the no-brainer. We wanted to keep it in San Diego or keep it in California. I mean, so
yeah.
And I had been to San Diego probably maybe a month or so before and actually went and hung out with Bert, just hit him up, whatever. So kind of
nice.
It all just worked out nice.
Yeah. Yeah. That's really cool. So the LP is coming out soon on his label on vinyl.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. It should be out early 2023, February, I'm thinking. Okay. Just depends on when, I guess the vinyl's done. Now it just has to get shipped here from like the Czech Republic or whatever. Probably comes on a rowboat. So it's going to take like
a rowboat. Yeah. One guy shipping all the vinyl from that one plant in the Czech. Yeah.
Yeah. That's where that's coming from.
He's been very busy.
Yeah. I hope he lives in a big house on the top of the hill somewhere.
Yeah. The vinyl house.
Yeah.
No, it's cool. There's so many cool good memories, like I said, with Die Hard Youth. But your new band doesn't sound like Die Hard Youth. Ilcom. I think it's, I don't know why, maybe you can explain it to me. Why do you think as the song person, that how did that song stand out to me out of Matt's, like Matt from The Witzer? He sent me, it's a like a 10-hour playlist.
Oh, really?
Thousands of songs, something like that. He's like, hey, choose some songs. And I picked yours with all the other ones. So, I mean, yeah, what do you think? Is there any reason that you can think of that maybe that song's, you know, I don't know why, because he didn't send me the songs or whatever. Like, I mean, maybe he whittled it down a little bit. Or
Matt did a nice little piece on us a while ago. So I thought maybe he just was like, check this out, like that, just that one track.
Maybe, you know?
So,
maybe he moved it to the top of the list or something.
Yeah, he strategically placed it. Thanks, Matt. Shout out to Matt.
Yeah.
No, that's awesome. I mean, honestly, I mean, I don't want to float my own boat or whatever, but like,
go ahead.
I think that especially those two songs on that little kind of promo thing we put out, the one that you picked off of, there's two songs, and it's kind of a good transition from the stuff we wrote for like the demo into the from there into the LP. And the LP, we really took the time and wrote it with over COVID, and we were able to kind of went back and forth over the internet because Roger was stuck in LA, and
yeah,
we were able to really kind of fine tune the songs, and those two songs were basically from the LP recording that were like wanted to show the transition. So I can honestly say that the LP is the best thing I've ever been a part of. Like Vinny Caruna from Movie Life, he came out a couple times and helped with the record, especially helped me like kind of learn how to sing a little bit on some of the songs, on some of the tracks, and then just how to be like a better, more efficient at recording, because I didn't really never had anyone tell me like, hey, you're not breathing right here, you're not doing this for off time.
Yeah,
that helped. And then Donnie Phillips also came out and kind of, I guess, produced, whatever you want to call it, on some of these tracks with the lyrics and stuff, kind of like the placement and going like, oh dude, like what you're doing right there is silly, like let's do it like this. So
oh wow,
actually it's like the big group effort, and it kind of, to me, it made the difference. And so, and the music's awesome because Roger and Matt and Joe write the music, and so like I'm a fan of the big fan of the music. So I know that if people don't like the band, if people don't like the band, it's because probably because of my lyrics or my vocal delivery. Like to me, if you like hardcore, the music's killer, dude. Like they write, all those guys in every band, they do write killer songs. So it's like a no brainer that their song, the music's going to stand out, you know? So,
yeah, no, everyone in, I mean, man, No Motive was always, always good, but, and so is the Warriors too. And so, of course, the musicians that, I don't know if they, how you all found each other and like came together, but it was like meant to be, because Die Hard Youth was always like super fun, right? It always seemed like you had fun playing and like being at the shows and like, you know, messing around with the crowd and all that kind of stuff. But now I haven't seen Ill Communication play in live or anything like that, but it would be cool to see. Obviously, I don't think, what am I saying? Hardcore didn't really go anywhere. Like it never went away is what I should say, right? You know, it stayed underground to some degree. We're, you know, now there's some on Taco Bell commercials and such, but, we can't pay you in cash, but we can give you all the tacos you want.
Yeah, take those taco fries all day.
Yeah, exactly. But, I don't know, like, what is there to be like, I'm still writing music and stuff like that, and you are too, obviously, but what are we writing about these days? Like, obviously, you're not 21 years old. You're not, you're not like going to youth group because your parents are telling you to go. You're like, you're a firefighter, you're a teacher, you're a hardcore kid. What are we writing about these days?
Yeah. I hope I'm writing from I do feel like I got a grasp on life, but like I got some life experience. And so, a lot of the lyrics, I mean, like I write in the LP, I straight up, like, I'm going to write a song about how racist people suck, straight up. Like you can never go wrong with that, you know, like,
boom, got him. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, hey, that's a no brainer, you know, but then
everybody can agree.
Yeah. And there's a couple, there's another song and actually had some friends help write, but like, there's a song about just like the Attach Me Kids that came up in music with that, like the basic generic, you know, like hardcore, like crew song. These are my homies kind of song. And then, and I wanted to have some of that no brainer kind of like just like generic hardcore vibes, but there's also songs in there about kind of how I feel technology is like ruining kids right now, and like parents are just letting their kids' phones take care of them.
Here we are recording on the video chat.
Yeah, we're both, so it's okay, you know.
yeah we do what we want.
Don't let your kids podcast. yeah, there's a song that like another song about the one that sticks out right now is like about people just in position of not necessarily authority per se, but like of influence. Like especially like I see it in hardcore, all these dudes are coming out and they're getting busted for like being this guy that books shows and he's taking advantage of people taking their money or just not treating people right or they're trying to manipulate.
Call them out.
Younger boys and girls, into whatever, sending them photos or just basically manipulating these people when they're in positions that they can do that because these people think that they're special or something great, you know? And it's like, I want to encourage more people to call those people out and just be like, hey man, if you know someone's doing this, you know, I don't care if they're in the biggest band in hardcore, like they're a dirtbag, you know, they shouldn't be doing that. So there's a song about that. And I don't know. I try to have my own spin on things, because I've always been a pretty like non-judgmental, easygoing guy, except when it comes to certain things like that. So there's some just fun kind of songs on there. Not necessarily goofy, but like the fun hardcore stuff that hopefully kids will want to pile up and sing along. And hopefully there's some stuff that when they read the lyrics, they'll go like, yeah, man, like we shouldn't let that band bully us into doing this because they're the band on the big label or whatever. So.
Yep. It's always fun to call out the, you know, basically just call out the bullshit, kind of like, look, I tried to do that my whole career. Like it went from within, you know, like, dude, I see what's happening right here. You know, like, and I was like, I started writing that kind of stuff when I was 17. I see what's going on here, or even my dad abusive family, but still trying to take us to church on Sundays or whatever. It's like, dude, that's not the way, you know? So. Now I try to teach that to my kid. You have kids?
Yeah, I got a senior and a sophomore.
Oh, cool. I got a senior and a freshman. Oh, that's rad. So I'm trying to tell them, like, I don't want to say, oh, back in my day, like that kind of stuff to them. But, you know, if they ask, especially like, hey, what was it like growing up or with your whatever or whatever? Even this morning, I told my son, I was like, you can't talk to me like that. I would have gotten so much trouble. I would have got slapped in the face for saying that. And my wife's like, yeah, you can't say that. It's like abusive thing. And I was like, no, I'm trying to tell him, like, we don't do that.
Right.
I had that happen to me. And how can blah, blah, blah. How can we change this? You know what? I'm going to go write a song about it. I'm going to write a hardcore punk song about it. So I think that you and I are in the same boat in that essence of like, we can teach our kids through our music that we're writing kind of, and, or trying to get something off your chest that maybe you can't say maybe on social media or I don't know.
Yeah.
I guess my like Dogwood and other music and even stuff I write now is not as like, we're not like hardcore, but I've always felt that hardcore spirit and hardcore kid scene and stuff like that.
You guys have always had that angst and anger and sense of urgency.
I definitely had that like in me. I just didn't know how to like get it out per se. Cause I was also trying to be compassionate and understanding and, you know, forgiving, but I also wanted to say in those things, like, I don't forgive these things and I don't understand these things, you know? So like,
yeah,
I think that's how maybe you and I got along in that sense a long time ago, because we were writing about this, this kind of sucks, you know, what can we do about this, sir?
Yeah, I can feel that. Yeah. I think like, in Diary too, I was pretty naive, like thinking like, oh, everyone involved in hardcore is like, cool. Like there's not people here who are like racist or like, are gonna like try to take advantage of somebody or like,
oh dude,
try to hook up with my wife when I'm not looking, like, and it's like, oh no, that's just as prevalent here as it is in the world. Like there's the same percentage of bad people in hardcore and punk as there is in the world, just we're in a smaller window when we're in our little hardcore world. So
yeah, sometimes they're just as bad as, sometimes the music scene is just as bad as kind of like the hidden nastiness of like the church scene or, you know, or religiosity. It's like we just don't talk about it, or we say, oh, we move past it, we forgive or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah. So full of hypocrite.
That's hard. So, so the song that I picked from you is, Lecture in Survivability. And I picked the line failures and mistakes, something like that. Right.
Yep.
Where was that coming from? What's the exact line and what did I say? Or would you say?
So that's that song I basically wrote to my kids. And at the time we had a drummer in the band who had a kid and he was younger. And I just kind of thought like, man, if I'm going to write these songs, I want to leave something like you're saying for my kids. Like when they read it, it's like, oh, this is like to me, you know, like, so that song is basically about, like how my at the time my kids were fighting like hardcore. And it's kind of like, hey, this thing's super cool. And like, yeah, I get to be up here and yell these things and people listen and sing along because they're young seeing this stuff. And, you know, but it's like, yeah, the failures and mistakes, disappointments and heartbreaks is all just, I was trying to let them know like, hey, dude, no matter what you're doing in life, you're going to have these things. You know, you're going to fail. You're going to succeed. You're going to You get your heart broken. You're going to get depressed. You're going to get angry. I want to do all this. And, but there's always going to be a light at the end of the tunnel. So don't just give up. Just keep forging ahead. It's kind of what that song is about. Like, basically, like, and that there's a line in there, flex your inner strength, which is just like, when that happens, I might not be around. So you're gonna have to dig deep to overcome, but you can overcome. So,
oh, wow. So I picked the song that was directly written to your kids.
Yep. Yeah. Nice.
Okay. Wow. That's special. I mean, I don't know. Maybe that's why it touched me. Maybe you wrote to me, or I mean, you wrote it like,
I think you can relate. You can relate. You got kids, you write music, you know, like, you've got all the same values. So,
but it was an unconscious relatability. Like, I wasn't listening to it from my kids' perspective, you know? But I heard it and I was like, wow, this one really blah, blah, blah. And then I picked like a plate of food that's kind of like a, almost like a traditional, you know, steak and potatoes, broccoli kind of plate, elevated, of course, but like, it's the bare bones deliciousness of a hardcore song, you know? You guys did it. You did it. Shout out to everybody. But I guess subconsciously it really resonated with with my heart, you know.
I'm glad.
And that's very emo of me and hardcore of you.
emotional.
Yeah, exactly. And it brings me great joy to see that the sign behind you says, "As for me and my house, we will serve tacos and margaritas."
Oh yeah, that's my wife. Shout out Natalie.
Hey Natalie, what's up? Margaritaville.
Yeah.
Is that sign up there every day, or is that she changes? Is she one of those people that changes the sign every day?
She changed, not every day, but as she sees fit. Yeah.
Love it.
She works hard. She's busy.
Is she own a taco restaurant?
No, that would be cool. I would like
margarita. Yeah. But at least in the house, as for me in my house, that's cool. That's funny because it's also a spin. It's also a riff on a verse from my book, Joshua. That's funny. It's for me in my house. So whatever. How'd you get into like firefighting and all that?
Basically, I mean, long story short, my dad was a fireman.
Same city?
Yeah. For Kern County, which is where I work. And, I grew up across the street from some kids, the Kingsbury's here in Tashpe, which whatever, Tashpe people will know who they are. And their dad was actually a Kern County fireman as well.
Okay.
We've known each other since we were like born, basically. Mm-hmm. And so we all kind of grew up just being like, yeah, we're going to grow up and be firemen. So, and now all of us are, three of them and one of me.
Nice.
And I work with one of them on a regular basis. And so basically that's how I got into it. And I had an uncle who's a fireman too. So it's a lot of positive dudes that were, it's not all firemen are cool people. There's bad humans that are firemen.
What?
Yeah.
Any industry. Sure.
Yeah. So, but they were definitely all good influences, and it's a good job, man. I like it. It has its ups and downs and goods and bads, but overall it's a great profession if that's for you.
Right. I mean, so you do, but you also, you're teaching too?
Oh, no, I sub as a, like a security kind of guy at the high school here.
Oh, cool. Okay.
So
you keep it, you keep everything local community wise.
I order beer at a pizza place here. So I got a lot of kind of hobbies and jobs. I'm busy.
you work at a pizza place too?
Yeah. There's a pizza place here that I don't really work there. I mean, sometimes I go in there and I'll help out, but, I mostly just do all the beer ordering. So like,
got it.
I deal with all the distros and like some breweries that self-distribute, and I order all the beer, and I'll do beer events like tap takeovers and stuff for the pizza place.
Nice.
So I set all that up and organize.
You're in my world.
Yeah. So I got a little foot in there.
Yeah.
A little bit of everything.
Do you bring in stuff from all over the place, like all over the world, all over the county, whatever?
I keep it mostly local just cause our, the United States, just because once you go out of the States, you start getting weird K couplers. Mm-hmm. And some of the people that work at the pizza place are like kids, so they can't really change the couplers. So,
oh yeah, that's smart.
Keep
yeah.
it all. So I'd like to on fourth, you know, I'd like to, especially for like some of the fest beers and stuff, I'd like to do different beers from overseas, but it got too big of a hassle to change out the K coupler. So, we do a lot. I was listening to your podcast actually with the man, is it? The the guy he went to Mexico. He used to work at Coronado. I think he's a drummer.
Ryan.
Is he a drummer for Mongrel?
Yes. Ryan Brooks.
Band rips, dude.
He's super rips. Dude. Yeah. He's at South Norte.
Yeah. So I was listening to that podcast that you put on, and I just picked up a new distro, and they just should be like three of their beers. So I ordered some of them.
Yeah. Perfect. Yeah. Shout out Ryan.
Yeah. Yeah.
You guys should play together.
Yeah. I know they're one guitarist. He's a friend of Joe and the band's. Yeah. So
perfect.
Yeah. Definitely would like to see. I'd like to play with them. I'd like to see him. They're pretty heavy though. I don't think we have to play before them. I don't want to get blown away. So
yeah, it's kind of like, it's almost like a little bit of old school metal and hardcore put together, like that way, you know, yeah. They sound like this is tough. This is really tough.
Yeah.
But it's funny when you hear the songs and then you like see Ryan or like see the people, you're like, but you look like such a nice person, like such a nice way. And you hear the music's like, the music is going to kill me.
Yeah, super aggressive. So I need that.
What's the Ill Communication? Are you straight up just like a Beastie Boys fan, or what's going on there?
Yeah, I mean, probably Beastie Boys are one of the first punk bands I can remember like being introduced to by the Kingsbury kids I talked to about. That they had two little sisters, so we'd always be over there, and their friends would be over we'd all be skateboarding. Their dad built this like pretty cool like launch ramp, so. Mm-hmm. And all the older friends would come over and they'd play music on a little boombox. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I remember the Beastie Boys, that tape being one of the first ones that I was like, dude, what is this? Like, they're like rapping and it's like music. And I thought it was punk at the time. People probably think it's hip hop, whatever, but we're listening to that and like the Misfits and then like Violent Femmes. And so it's kind of this weird mix that the kids had.
Alternative.
I remember seeing the tape covers and like, you know, I remember seeing the Suicidal tape. With the guys hanging up, I'm like, whoa, that's like my band. My mom and dad would never let me have that tape. Like, wait, they saw that. So,
was your house pretty religious growing up, or traditional, or conservative?
Yeah, or? Yeah, they're. I mean, we mostly listen to, you know, either Christian music or like classic rock and stuff. But mm-hmm. I mean, once I got into punk music, my parents were always cool. You know, like as long as it went. I probably listened to music that on the side that they didn't know about. That was. You know, with all the bad words and stuff, but like
you're like PMA, mom, PMA. What's up, dude?
That's my kid Beckham.
soccer fans.
Yeah, soccer fan. Yeah. So that's why. I mean, I've always loved the Beastie Boys. Since then.
Same. I've told people that the Beastie Boys are a hardcore band before.
You know? Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah, and I didn't know that until later. You know, because all that License to Ill was the first thing I ever got. So.
They didn't rock on that, but they sampled everything from rock bands on that record.
Yes, exactly.
So that's so you could, you know, you could turn it
at the time. I didn't know. I just thought they did it all. I'm like, oh, this is cool, you know.
True. That's true. We were young. You were a diehard youth at the time. that's cool. So hopefully nobody's come at you with like, you know, any kind of cease and desist kind of stuff or anything like that. You're like, it's inspiration, baby.
No, there is another band called Ill Communication. Or they were called it.
I saw that.
They changed their name to Illcom, but yeah.
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 Is that because they changed it because of you?
I don't know if they, I mean, we were definitely a band before, and this this dude, Jay Reason, I don't know, he's from Connecticut. He hit me up and was like, hey, these dudes have the same band name as you. And I'm like, okay. So I hit him up and I'm like, hey, dude, just do you guys know? And they're like, yeah. It's like, all right, whatever. Maybe they thought we were going to break up or something and go away, but I don't know. But so I think they kind of changed it a little bit. I don't know. I told them we should do a split or something. Like
that'd be sick. Cool. That'd be sick if you did. Yeah, that's the way to do it.
Don't ask me on that either. So whatever.
That's the way to do it. What's it called? We had so many, there was a lot of drama with our name, like just being Dogwood. Like it's just kind of a generic, it's a flower or whatever. So there was other bands that came out with the name while we were still doing stuff, you know? And we're like, hey, just so you know, we're still like on tour and releasing CDs and stuff. Yeah. They're like, so you should change your name. Or, you know, these like young kids from like Florida or something like that. I'm like, dude, I'm just saying like, there's already a band out there. You might want to, you know, wait till we're done or whatever. I don't know. We're just saying like, just so you know, maybe blah, blah, blah. Cause we changed our name originally when it was somebody else. There was some hardcore band in Boston called Half Off when we were originally called Half Off. Okay. So we changed our name to Dogwood and, you know, we had actually stolen that name from somebody else too. So I get where you're experiencing.
I mean, whatever. It's like, I don't really care. I'm like, whatever, we're just going to play and do our thing. So, but I haven't heard anything from like, yeah, I mean, that'd be cool. Like if Mike D was to hit me up and be like, hey, man, I'd be like,
well, he's right. Listening. He, you know, he's listening. So.
Yeah. Like, hey man, come sing on a track, dude. We got you.
Oh, there you go. See, you're always coming up with good ideas. No, that's cool. So if you're a beer buyer, are you straight edge, or can you be a straight edge beer buyer?
No, I drink beers. Yeah.
Okay. I don't know how the rules of straight edge, you know?
Oh no, I've never been straight edge. When I first got into hardcore, I was in boot camp and I came back from boot camp and, I came back and my friends were all straight edge and I'm like, you know what? I don't think I'm probably going to drink again someday. So I never even really, and they kind of got into it and they were straight edge for whatever, a year or two. So like during that time, I didn't really drink because they're the only people I would have drank with. So, but I never like claimed it or like thought it was something I needed to be.
Yeah. Which
I think it's great for, especially like my oldest kid is straight edge and he loves that kind of stuff. Dude, reps X watch and all that stuff. And it's rad. Like, it keeps him out of trouble, if nothing else, until they are old enough to maybe decide better.
Sure. I know what you mean.
But
I feel like it's like if you're straight edge for like a year, that means you're basically doing a cleanse. You're keeping yourself clean, you know. If you're but you don't know it at the time, you know.
I got a lot of friends that are like, you listen to 185 guys, like all those, well, you know, Zach doesn't drink right now, but Dan and Chris and Ben, all those dudes are straight edge and they're all super cool, you know, no one's like militant or weird about it, and they all are doing it for the right reasons to them and stuff. So I fully support all that.
No, you could do it for a healthy lifestyle. It's just like with anything, like CrossFit, church, politics, whatever. You don't have to be,
they're all cults.
But you don't have to be mean about it. You could just be like, this is what I do. You do what you do. Yeah. Let's live. Just like I'm sure that I think even when we played with Die Hard Youth in Tehachapi, there's bands from all over the spectrum on what they believe in, straight edge or vegan or Christian or secular or Satan or whatever. It's like, we just want to play a show. And we're all doing music, obviously, for the same reasons. We want to play music.
So
I'm not like,
guys in the
I'm not like, you're not straight edge. Get out of here. You know, whatever. It's like, that's not how you win people over.
I want to play with everybody.
Yeah, for sure. And especially, I guess, even being in a town like Tehachapi, meaning just smaller in general, it's like we had fun playing there because I feel like every single person in the city was there. Every single kid in the city was at the shows.
Every kid was there. Yeah.
And there was those times where we would play Jerry's Pizza and Tehachapi in the same tour, which is really cool because we'd see the same people at all. We would be like, come to the other show or come to the other show. And they did. And it was like a really fun, it was like a second home to some degree. That's really cool though. But with a name like Die Hard Youth, it almost sounds like you are straight edge. Yeah. Die Hard and youth, like a youth crew kind of thing.
Yeah. I took it from a 7-second song, but, sure. When I first got into hardcore, I didn't really know. I'd already kind of been into punk rock a little bit, but my friends were all sudden straight edge in 100%. And it was like, all the X's, because my first email address was like X diehard X or something like that. I didn't realize. I thought the X's just meant it was like hardcore music. I didn't know until later. It was like, well, you're not straight edge. Like you can't have X's in your email. And it's like, well, this is the only email I got, dude. Like, so.
I feel you. Yeah. I too thought the X's was just, it meant you were like leaning towards more into the hardcore music and lifestyle and that kind of stuff. Because I already knew from early on that, you know, Minor Threat did straight edge, whatever, made these rules in the song, whatever. But then the Minor Threat guys, they all drank coffee and stuff. So I'm like, okay, well, they're already obviously into caffeine. So what's the real rules or blah, blah. And they're like, well, we made it all up or whatever the case may be. I'm not negating anybody's lifestyle, but I'm just saying like, they were saying something when they were teenagers.
Right.
Just like, you know, when I was writing early songs in Dogwood, is more like militant youth group kind of stuff, you know, like, you're bad, I'm good, you're going to hell, I'm going to heaven, or, you know, whatever, because I'm a kid and I think I know everything. And now when my kids argue with me, I'm like, yeah, okay, whatever, you know everything, I know nothing, I haven't experienced anything, you're right, you know, whatever. So the rules, quote unquote, of straight edge, or the rules of music, or the rules of whatever the case, I don't know, you know?
Definitely sure, though, you can't drink beer and be straight edge.
That's probably true. But there's some really good,
really thirsty.
It's the only thing they had, man. There's some good NA options out there, you know?
Oh yeah. I think that's Yeah, I got some buddies that I'll hang with that either used to drink and now they're straight edge and they still like the taste of beer. So yeah, there's a lot of good non-alcoholics out there.
No, I definitely every if I host a party at my house, I'll always have NA options. You know,
yeah,
whether it's mocktails or you know yeasted sodas or like you know fermented soda, or actually like Athletic Brewing, they do all non-alcoholic or whatever. So yeah, super good, and they're super good too.
Yeah, I carry them at the pizza place, Athletic. Yeah.
Oh, I
love them too.
Yeah. Sometimes if I want a beer at night, like a shift beer after a long day, but I don't really want a beer because it doesn't really help you sleep well, I'll go to Athletic and like you know do, it'll still be satisfied. Yeah. This is not a commercial, you guys. But
yeah. Now for our new sponsor,
Straight Edge beer. Yeah. So, but anyways, Ill Communication. I wanted to get back to that because. Are you going to tour? What's going on?
I doubt we'll ever tour. I definitely would like to play the East Coast and do some stuff. We'll see.
I guess when I say tour these days, it's like, are you guys going to do some weekends here and there?
Yeah. With COVID going on, and then some of the guys had some family stuff, good and bad, like new kids, family members pass away. So some stuff that really was a bigger priority than the band for a long time.
Sure.
And now that's kind of all leveling out and we're definitely going to play more shows this year than last year. And I would like to do some weekends I'd like to hit the East Coast. We got some buddies out there that we might be able to just fly out and do some shows.
Oh, cool.
Just want to see what kind of depends on what the LP does, to be honest. Like if it comes out and it just, nobody cares, then nobody cares, whatever.
How can I get it?
And then I'll send you one. If you want, but I'll send you some vinyl once it comes out.
I collect.
But so that's the plan. Is hopefully, I mean, in my whatever, I think kids are gonna like it. I think it's gonna be it's something a little bit different than a lot of the crossover kind of more heavier metalist stuff. It's a little bit more. I don't know, a new style of youth crew. I don't know if that's the right way to put it, but
is this a new genre?
It's kind of geared towards that more.
So old man crew, like
yeah. Not youth crew.
Yeah, exactly.
But former youth crew. Basically, when we wrote the music, it was like I wanted to do a record that I wanted to hear, and Roger and Joe were kind of we talked about it a lot, and we kind of mapped it out and got Matt on board, and just basically were like, hey, we wanted to, you know. Gave him some songs, but like the band Beyond and 7 Seconds, like let's mash these two things together, but in a new way. And is like, that's the vibe that we had. We're shooting for. It doesn't sound like either of those bands, but just kind of like some fun sing-alongs with some melody here and there, some mosh, some different, you know, a short song, a long song, just kind of trying to mix it up to give people a journey. So, and hopefully people will dig in, want to sing along. So stage dive.
Yes.
Circle pitting.
Yes. I'll start stretching now. I don't want to pull a hammy. Yeah. I know, right? You been going to shows?
Yeah. Yeah, I've been going to shows. I went to Sound and Fury this year. That festival.
Nice.
My kid wanted to go, so I took my kid and his buddy.
He's hardcore.
Yeah. Oh yeah. They loved it. I was really not looking forward to it, but I actually had a really good time. A lot of good band.
I'm jealous of you. Yeah.
Next week I'm going to go to For the Children, that fest in LA. We're going to go one day. Internal Affairs is playing from LA. They're doing a reunion.
Nice.
There's some other bands. Foreign Pain out of LA is some homies of mine. So like.
What did you make in the microwave?
Oh, it looks like a bacon and ham sandwich.
I want that.
Yeah. I have to make one of them later.
Yeah. Why don't you off the top of your head, pair that with a song from Sound of Fury Fest?
We're going to put it with, let's look at it one time.
Let me see that. Yeah.
Oh, can you see that?
Okay. Oh, on a hoagie roll. Okay.
It's pretty good. I'm going to say it's going to be a song from the band Drain.
Oh my God.
The party. It's like the party in town. I don't know any song titles.
Hey 56 just posted a video of theirs today.
Dude,
I was like, come on. What's that? California cult? California something?
California Curse. Yeah.
Yeah, dude. Like, why is that? That record makes me like I should have never made music. I should have quit.
Yeah, they ripped
them and like, yeah, Hey, tell that kid to put some greens on that sandwich. We get some lettuce, dang. get some crunch. No, that's cool. Sorry, you're saying like, so your homies internal affair, I mean, not internal affairs, but the other guys are playing the festival.
You're gonna the For the Children, yeah, which is like a cool fest that they, bunch of bands, they do mm-hmm. they give the toys. I think Rotting Out's playing on Saturday, which is pretty cool. I haven't seen them in a long time.
That's hardcore.
But I've been going to shows. My kid, he's mad. He doesn't even know I'm going to that For the Children yet. I kind of got to hook up, like, they're supposed to have a soccer tournament. It got canceled. So he has his Christmas work party. He works at the pizza place that I help out at. He has
to go to perfect. Party. is it good pizza?
Yeah, super good pizza. If you ever come to town, let me know. We'll hook it up.
I'll drive up there for good pizza.
Yeah, bring the family. It's snowing. You can come sledding.
Is it Fugazi's?
It's called TK's Pizza.
Oh, TK's. Okay. Nate used to buy us Fugazi's pizza when we played outside of Bakersfield.
Oh, Yeah.
I don't remember what city it was in, but he said, it's like, it's not in the city. I have to go get it or something. So,
yeah, I think to Mojave. Mojave had that place called, something like that. That's crazy. That's like, random. Like, that's
where is the pizza, Nate? What the frick? and then I just remember, playing Jerry's Pizza, and Nate's like, well, since we bought all you guys pizza, here's the pay. Here's what's left from the pay. I was like, oh, if that was the case, I didn't want the pizza. I don't want the pizza. I need to pay for I need to get to the next show with the money.
Yeah. I'm going to put this in the gas tank, but is it going to help?
Right. So, hey, here, next time we come play here, don't give us pizza and don't give us quarters for the video games. I don't want them, you know? So that was a funny thing. But what a death trap Jerry's Pizza was.
Yeah. So
if you think about it, now that you're a firefighter, think about that death trap.
Yeah, I mean, especially the days when you played there, they kind of opened it up a little bit. I went there it was probably a year ago. Terror played there and I went to hang out and
Terror at Jerry's Pizza, are you kidding me?
Oh yeah. Yeah, they had some decent shows. I mean,
no, I know they did. I remember they had Weezer in,
but they opened up that little stage area. They kind of made it wider.
Oh, okay.
But there's still like a big cement pole that you could definitely like just get moshed into and probably
yeah we got some venues like that still. Yeah, uh-huh.
But some teeth, it's a little bit bigger, but it's still
stairs bigger. Going down one way, stairs going down the other way, no windows, no ventilation. I shocked myself so many times down there. I broke my teeth on the microphones down there, broke my ears on the PA. like, it was just the worst, but also somehow the best.
I mean some of the funnest shows I ever been to were definitely there.
Yeah for sure. And it was a must do on tour. I can't wait to see Ill Communication play there, but
I that's on the list. We got to play there sooner or later.
It says bucket list for sure.
Yeah.
And so could you pair something with what if you went like, what if we said like Gulch, Sin in My Heart? Could you do something with that? Because it's food-wise, beer-wise, tacos and margarita-wise for Natalie.
Sin in My Heart. Is that the cover they did?
No, they covered Pixies. Well, they might have done another one, but I know they covered Monkey's Gone to Heaven.
Oh, yeah. That was later. On the LP, the last LP they did. I'm so bad at song titles, man.
Sorry. Okay. It's like a long, epic kind of intro. You know, they got this.
I know,
like,
I heard it. I've got the LP, both those LPs. That band, I got to see them at Sound and Fury, which I'm glad.
Yeah, that was their final, right?
Yeah, and they were very cool live. Like, that's not really my style of music. They're real chaotic, like, but yeah. I appreciate what they do. And, you know, it's just not like something I like go, hey, man, I'm going to listen to Gulch right now. Like,
just for the fun of it.
I could jam, you know, I'll pull out Drain, I'll pull out Mind Force, I'll pull out Retaliate, like, I'll pull out just, and I enjoy those more often than, I got to be in a mood for Gulch, so.
You do.
I read the lyrics and I'm like, I guess that's what he said, I don't know, but it is ill. They're live, they were very intense. Definitely, they would be like a, as far as the beer goes, I'm gonna have to say like some sort of triple IPA that like
annihilates you, that
you can only drink like on a certain occasion, and like your buddies talked you into it, and you're all gonna drink this one triple IPA.
You know what? I would have said something very similar, and it doesn't pair with any food. It's just like, maybe you start with the cracker or end with the cracker and have this triple IPA and
you just do that and you run with it from there.
Yeah. I think I'm going to go to bed now. Like, yeah. Gulch
like,
just killed
it,
me.
And afterwards, after it was just like, when you listen to the record, you're like, what did I just listen to? You'd be like, what did I just drink?
Yeah. Yeah.
Same way.
So it's almost like your beer rep is going to be like, hey, you want to sell this new IPA, triple IPA at your pizza parlor? And you're like, actually, I don't, because it's not going to, we're not going to sell much of it because we got pizza out, you know, we sell pizza. And
well, sadly, to be truthful, people just come in and they'll look on the board and whatever the highest ABV is, they'll ask for the bourbon barrel aged stout.
Oh, so they want it.
And it's like, that's not for you. Like, what do you normally drink? Coors Light. I'll take the 13.5%, whatever.
Yeah, you are going to hate this pitcher full of Speedway stout or whatever, you know, like,
yeah, you're definitely not. Like, and they'll choke it down. And it's like, all right, don't give them any more of that. Like, they got to go to something else, because some people just want to get obliterated, I guess.
Well, yeah, at the breweries, they'll only sell you like a 8 ounces of that.
Yeah. Yeah. And unfortunately, we don't have the small glasses. So if we have a big beer, it's always served in the pint glass. So,
wow.
Be sure and not let people drink more than one. It's pretty crazy.
And like, if you buy a pitcher of that, you have to buy three pizzas to just soak it up, you know.
Yeah, we definitely don't do pitchers of the big beers. And,
okay.
I don't order them that often unless it's like it's a brewery that I'm friends with or something, and it's like a kind of a special deal for them, and they're hooking us up to do it. And because some people really like the barrel aged stuff,
sure,
it's not really my thing. But so I'll try to get something for them around the holidays, because a lot of people come in and
it's a holiday. Yeah.
Christmas dinners, and they sip it, you know, and they're gonna be responsible with it. But when I see someone in there just like getting a pint of it and just chugging it, it's like, no, you got to go to something else after that, man.
Oh man, they're eating pizza, their stomach's gonna be hating them later.
Yeah.
What do you drink? What do you like to have besides tacos and margaritas?
Yeah, tacos, margaritas for sure.
Bacon sandwiches.
Yeah. I'm a big IPA drinker. That's like my favorite. I've been trying to expand my palate and drink more. I can do stouts and sours. And usually what we'll do is I'll buy a bottle of something nice and then split it with some friends, you know, whether it's a sour or nice. Stout like that. Idea.
Yeah.
I'll just do little sippers and hang out. If it's hot out, you know, I'll drink, you know, like I really want to get that one from the Del Norte, whatever your buddy's brewery.
South Norte. Yeah.
South Norte, the Mexican lager he's talking about.
So good.
One.
Yeah.
I like that kind of stuff where it's like real light, but if I'm just hanging out, yeah, I was drinking IPA, usually between 5 and 6%. I'm trying to think down San Diego. I like the Coronado vibes. It's cool. It's kind of mellow, just like not the greatest, but like just, I always know it's going to be good. Green Cheeks is down there. I guess it's more Southern California. I'm trying to think what would be in San Diego. Of course, Modern Times is good. Stone's too gnarly for me.
What do you mean?
Just some of their beers is just too, I don't know if it just does, it just hits me weird. Like it doesn't.
Oh, yeah. That's their thing. They want to do that to you.
Yeah. It's like some of the Sierra Nevada, like Tornado and stuff, or Torpedo, I'm sorry, is like, it's just a little bit too aggressive for me. I want a little bit more mellow than that.
Yeah, totally. So, which is funny because that's not how your music is.
Yeah.
You don't drink beers like your music is.
Everyone at work tells me that, because the guys will find a video on YouTube every once in a while or something off Facebook, and they'll all pass it around to everyone at work, and they'll be like, that's you? And I'm like, yeah, I'm pretty laid back at work. So they're
you're like super quiet at work, and then you're like, hey, you want to come to my concert? They're like, yeah, if we want a chill night with the lady, whatever, let's go.
And yeah, then good, yeah. Check this out.
Yeah, yeah, it's funny. So have your kids heard the song yet that you wrote for them?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. My younger kid, he's kind of like not as into music at all.
He'll get there.
He'd rather watch people play Xbox on YouTube or something weird, but
totally. So
my older kid, he's the one that's really into music. He's in a band now and he's playing guitar, and he hears it, but he just makes fun of it. And even the guy, Matt, in the band was giving him guitar lessons for a while. And
nice.
Oh, you want to learn an Ill Communication song? And they always be like, no. So like, kind of like too cool for school.
Yeah.
But he did tell me the other day, he made a playlist and he put one of our songs on it. So he was like, all right, like kind of conceded maybe that he kind of likes it a little bit.
Because, you know, when you're not around, they show their friends the music and stuff like that. Yeah.
Yeah, well, like all his friends walk around wearing my shirts and our band's shirts and hats and stuff. And it's like, where'd you get that, dude? Oh, I gave it to him. If you don't like the band, don't give him that. But at least somebody's wearing it.
You're taking money out of your own mouth.
Yeah.
Dude, I love it. That's cool. So record's coming out. Got some major tours planned around the world. Natalie's going to go on tour serving tacos. Yeah. And what's next? You're starting your own 186 Miles South podcast.
Well, no. Me and a buddy tried to do a podcast. Didn't work out. So.
Oh, yeah? What'd you do? What was it?
We called it Ilcom, straight out of Tashpi.
Okay.
Really is more of a, my buddy was living in Austin and, or still does, Ryan Garrett. And we just want to stay connected. So we kind of started it by, just having all our old friends come on and kind of talk about music.
Yeah.
And he ended up having, again, like it was during COVID, some family issues, a parent die and a baby born. So we kind of stopped and never picked it back up. And it wasn't great, you know, but it was, I mean, it was more kind of for us just to reconnect with friends and stuff. And maybe we'll do something again.
That's why I did this one. It's the same idea. You know, I just wanted to, man, I talked to all these, I know all these cool people and all these old musician friends that I know are doing cool stuff now. You know,
yeah, you're better. Right? You got a good way to interview people.
but I just meant like, I'm kind of talking to them, some of these people on a regular basis, but like, man, your story needs to be, I think other people need to hear what you're doing, you know, like, or even like being doing what you're doing. And also you're doing like five different things at the same time, you know? If you think about it. Well, the music and the family life and firefighting and teaching and beer buyer for the pizza place, you know, like all these things that we don't, I think what I've realized is when I talk to the people, they realize that they're doing a whole bunch of cool stuff. They don't even know it. You know, it's like, oh yeah, I was in a band and now I do this. It's like even talking to like Rob and Sam at Heartwork, you know, like you were telling me, like I didn't realize they were in like between the two of them, there's like 20 or 30 bands, you know?
Oh yeah. Yeah. And they're all great.
Exactly. Yeah. Like what? Awesome. So, I think it's cool to know that the people from my own life or my own past that, you know, that I have history with are either still doing cool stuff or this cool stuff that they did has still inspired me to continue doing the things that I'm doing to this day and teaching the kids, teaching the kids that stuff, you know, whether they want to hear it or not, Xander. He's over here building a Minecraft thing for his final in high school, you know?
Oh, heck yeah. That's the kind of class I want to take.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's like part, this cool teachers these days, if you get it, you get it, you know, if you know, kind of thing, like, okay, you want the kids to engage, like get on their level a little bit, you know?
Yeah. I like it. Not all teachers are doing that. So props.
But that's what I have to do in the kitchen too, is like, I know that some of these people aren't going to understand the same as these other chefs. So like, how can I make it so everybody gets what I'm trying to do?
Yeah. I bet you that's hard. I mean,
it can be
motivation. So
I'm like, what are you putting in my recipe? What are you doing? Oh, I thought it was like this. I was like, oh, I understand why you would think that, but here, let's do it this way. And there's a reason why, here's the reason why I do it. And I don't always remember that method of teaching when I'm parenting.
No, I understand. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like I come home from work and all of a sudden I have to switch that off and turn into dad or whatever, or husband or whatever. So, man, that's hard. How do you do it? Give me some wisdom. Drop some nuggets on me.
I'm learning from you, man.
You listen to two podcasts. You're like, okay, I get this guy. No, I'm like, I try to talk to the guests and see like impart some wisdom on me because everybody does it different. You know, obviously.
Yeah.
We made it this far. We're still somehow alive, being as crazy as we were.
Doing podcasts, though, man. I mean, I think everyone that does a podcast should. I mean, it's the new zine, you know. Like,
exactly.
I mean, I do give props to Zach and those guys for letting me be on their 185 Miles South because they're all old friends. But man, they're like, they're encyclopedias of knowledge. And I'm just like this dude's fumbling around and to still stay connected. Like you're saying, you have people doing cool stuff. So stay connected to those people that are doing cool things. Like I'm psyched that you let me come on your podcast and we got to chat it up.
It's crazy how it worked out. Like I said, it's crazy how it was like, it was you. It was crazy that the song was you, you know? I don't know. I was going to say, like, how did, I guess you ended up on 185 Miles because you probably, you're friends with them from like all the hardcore scene and the bands and stuff like that too, right? But and that one's a strictly like hardcore, more like historical. It's like a historical reference to hardcore music and such, like,
yeah, they got, which they is got cool. A lot of knowledge. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's cool because every show that I listen to on that one, it's like, I remember I know all the venues and everything that they're talking about from everywhere in the Oxnard area down to San Diego, because that's me, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They're all the same.
Yeah.
Dog would probably even play the show with In Control one time or another in Tatch.
100%. Yeah. 100%.
Sure.
So like, it's just, so it's cool to like reconnect through this medium and, you know, listen to people's voices and figure out, oh, that's that person or whatever. Like, you know, like the guests that I have on here, when they say, oh, isn't that band too? I was like, what? You know, like somebody like Aaron from Bane is in like another 30 bands that are like, oh, what? You're in that? I have all your records, blah, blah, blah. You know?
Yeah.
So it's just been really cool. Like, what's your mentality on life these days? Like now, like you PMA, you're like, what are you doing for like routines?
Yeah, I think I'm still pretty, I think I'm still a pretty positive guy. Definitely not as naive as I was, you know, when first started doing bands and stuff and thinking, punk rock was going to change the world and all the stuff. I think it changed the world around us, and the people around us, but that's, something that anybody can do. But I do think that through punk rock, we can do that with our friends and stuff. I started to keep positive, just hang out, try to stay mellow. With having kids, I struggle to be calm and collective as I should be.
What?
And with other people, sometimes I get a little heated.
Sure.
So that's a lesson. Something I'm always working on. But I feel like things are positive. Life could be worse. So
I guess it could always be worse. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I don't have any really great knowledge. It's all kind of the same stuff.
Well, do you have like a morning routine or a night routine or
anything like that? You know, when I go to work, I work for 48 hour shifts. Mm-hmm. So,
what's that like?
Yeah, I got a routine. So when we go to work, we basically get there and we check out all the equipment to make sure that everything's going to work, hopefully, right? So if you go to a fire or an accident or a medical call, that all our gear will be ready to go. And then after that, we usually go work out at a little gym there, or me and one of my guys will work out. If it's nice outside, we'll just work out a station, kind of like prison yard style. We'll like throw some like logs around and stuff and just do some random stuff. And then go for a jog, and kind of same way at home, just a little bit different schedule times. I like to get up and work out and go for a jog with the dogs. And
so you're in pretty good shape.
I don't know. I try to be. I got a routine, and if I don't keep my routine, then yeah, I'll get grouchy and stuff. So I'm definitely a creature of habit when it comes to that. Yeah. Like,
yeah,
you know, when I'm on vacation, I gotta go on a little jog, or my wife will be like, "You're getting all like grouchy. Go do something." So I'll go on a little jog,
And it
kind of eases my whatever. I guess getting out of a habit definitely affects me, like my mental game. So.
That's about it.
I mean, then throughout the day, kind of listen to some podcasts, depending on what we're doing at home or at work, and play some records, hang out.
What's the last record you played?
The last record I played is the Powerhouse. Gosh dang it. They just re-released it on vinyl. Actually, Zach from 185 Miles South sent me it.
Nice.
We did a little trade, and so Powerhouse was a band when I used to live in up by Northern California when I was in the Air Force, and I'd go to shows by myself because I didn't have any friends that liked that stuff in the Air Force. I didn't really have any friends in the Air Force. I didn't like those guys, but kind of like I was just like a skater punk dude, and like would go to shows because I got into hardcore. So I'd go to shows in Sacramento and down to San Francisco and Berkeley, and Powerhouse was always a band that was always playing, and like they're kind of tough looking, scary dudes.
Yeah.
But they would always take note, like just say hi and stuff, which is, you know, they didn't have to say hi to the random kid sitting there by himself. And that always kind of sat with me. It was like, man, these guys are cool. Their music's cool.
Yeah. So
they just re-released that record on Blackout Records. And So nice. I got it. I was pretty psyched. So I listened to that a few times, and that was the last record.
Where were you stationed with?
I was at Beale Air Force Base. It's about 30 minutes from Sacramento, between Sacramento and Chico, about 30 minutes each.
Okay.
And probably an hour and a half, hour and 45, depending on where I was going to the bay.
Mm-hmm.
But I said I'd go to shows all the time. It was a cool time. That's when like AFI was like just popping off with that Open Your Eyes and Shut Your Mouth record. Outcomes the Wolves just came out not too long before that.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of like bands that are mega huge now that were still playing like small shows. I got to see a bunch. Redemption 87, Nerve Agents.
It was
a cool time. So there's a lot of like going to shows by myself though. And
so you were already like done with the Air Force when I met you in the band then, yeah?
I moved back to this area, I switched bases to Edwards. So I was at Edwards Air Force Base, which you probably kind of know where that's at, kind of by Lancaster.
Yeah, I've been there. I watched the SR-71 Blackbird take off from there.
Oh, nice. Heck yeah. At the base Beale, that's what they had there. They had this SR-71 was that where it flew out of the most. And that's pretty impressive. It'll rattle your lungs.
That's what we went to witness, the afterburner effect.
Yeah.
It was like the first time or something like that, or I don't know. But it was, that's pretty cool.
Only a few runways are long enough for it to take off or land.
Yeah, exactly.
Edwards and Beale are both of those. That's kind of some nerd stuff, but
it's kind of cool though. Like if you, it's kind of, people like say whatever you want about like the military infrastructure or whatever, but when you see that thing and it's in action and taken off, it's like, whoa.
Yeah, and that was built in like the 70s or something crazy.
It was built in the 70s, and I didn't see it till like, I don't know, mid 80s or something like that. But it was like mind blown. Like, wow, changed my life just seeing that thing. No, literally, like lost my hearing.
I feel it.
I was like, wow, this makes me want to be in a hardcore band or just kidding.
I only can make music that did that to me. I was at Edwards for a couple of years when we started.
Yeah.
So that was when I first met you. I was still in the military at Edwards.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
Well, I got there and then right away they sent me to Kuwait for like 9 months. And then I came back and then that's when Dire Youth kicked off. So I was in the military for about 8-9 months after that.
Oh, got it. Okay. So you're technically a veteran of foreign affairs?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah.
Okay. So veterans, not always like war. It's more like somebody who's been overseas and come back. Is that what it is?
For a while there you had to be in an actual engagement or whatever. And now when I was in, I was between the two Gulf Wars.
Yeah.
So, but they called it something like a Desert Shield or something like that. So,
Desert Storm.
I got veteran status cause I was in during that time.
Yeah.
In that theater or whatever they call it. So, I got veterans discount at Home Depot.
All right. Well, thank you for your service. No, dude, that's a whole other aspect of like, see, that's another thing that you have. That's another piece of your puzzle, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't discount it.
No,
but
definitely.
What did you do for the service?
I was a fireman there too. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Yeah. I wanted to get some experience and stuff. And so I went to college for a year and I said, this sucks. I don't like college. I was too cool for school. So I,
literally,
of course. And then, I got some experience, build my resume up and help me get this job that I got now. So not all bad.
There you go. Yeah. I mean, I went to culinary school, but I finished 1 year and I didn't finish and I'm still chefing. So like,
You know,
I guess sometimes it takes you going to college to see that that's not your path, you know?
Right. Yeah.
Hey, don't listen to me, kids. But don't listen to me, Beckham.
Definitely graduate high school.
yeah, definitely have to finish high school. But I don't know. So, anyways, give me some good last good thoughts on this episode. Like, do some stuff for me here. Give me some thoughts on your how do you win at life? What's the main objective here? What are we doing? Why are we still around?
Winning at life.
I mean, why are we still writing music? Yeah.
Oh, write music.
I don't know anything.
I think we write music and maybe that's the key to life too, is do things that like you really, that really strike, just basically that light a fire underneath you, you know.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I still love going to shows. I still stage dive, circle pit. Like, I mean, like, I'll come home, you know, with a bruise. I got a broken finger from a movie live show because I climbed on top of everybody and the security guard pulled me off and like fell on my hand and broke my finger. And I never went to the doctor, you know, like, and that was 2 years ago. So
you're too hardcore for the movie life.
Vinny's my dude. They're my dudes, man.
Yeah. That's cool.
I gotta show out when they come out. So, yeah, I mean, anything in life, whether, yeah, you're being a chef or an artist or a, you know, not necessarily a fireman, doesn't like, there's a reason I did it though. And I think it's probably something in there sparked a, something in me to like a desire to want to be that or do that. Yeah. And I think it could be said for music, for art, for any job, you know, if you really want to be a, you know, work on motorcycles and that's your passion and it gets you going, then do that with all your heart and don't just be like, well, working at this bank's going to be cooler and it's more stable and it's going to be, but you're not going to be happy. So try to find something that like motivates you and do something in that, at least in that area or that genre of work or music or kind of art and run with it.
All right. That's good. Good words from a local beer buyer, fireman, teacher, diehard youther, ill communicationer. It's been real. I'm glad we got to catch up like this. And I want to see you play live. I want to see you play live. And until then, I'll have to just listen to the record coming out soon on Bert's label.
Yeah. Yeah. There'll be a couple singles dropping soon. Mm-hmm. I think early January, the first single will drop. So,
So the one that the song that I was working with is not on the new stuff?
No, we recorded those during the LP, the whole. Okay. We wrote like 17 songs and not all of them made the LP, but we wanted those two to kind of be a promo just to put out music this year. And we played a couple shows off them. So yeah, they'll be like a single off of the two singles.
Cool. So all new stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Nice. So it'll all be brand new for you.
Okay. You heard it here, ladies and gentlemen, everyone in between. Andy, say your name the right way.
Andy Franchier.
Franchier. Okay. I always thought it was Franchier.
It's probably how they said it when my grandpa lived in France, but
That makes sense. Yeah. Okay. That's dope. Well,
yeah, Diehard's my middle name, it's not really my last name. So
Diehard's the middle name. Okay, cool parents. dope, man. Well, give my best to the fam and we'll catch up soon.
All right. Thanks, Josh. Appreciate it, man.
You got it. Take care.
All right, take it easy.
Bye.
Bye.
So we're doing this?
Are we doing this?
It's a cold, cold world, full of sick, sick people. No peace, no security, no longer at ease. This world will never defeat me.
Yes, brutal, brutal California hardcore. This is Andy's band Ill Communication with members of No Motive, The Warriors, Die Hard Youth, you name it, they're in the band. There's a bunch of featured artists singing with them and other people helping in the studio. As he said in the conversation, this is the first song from the EP. They got a new LP coming out full length on Safe Inside Records. That's a San Diego hardcore label, as you probably heard in the conversation. That'll be out, coming out soon. So this is just two of the songs. And of course, I'll play at the end of this little chatty chat. I'll play the song that I did the food pairing with on the article. So if you haven't checked out the article, I think it's high time that you should, because it's just fun. So I'm hopefully going to get some more artists. I have, I think, two more artists, maybe three. I don't remember now, but to finish out the series. So yeah, if you haven't, go back and listen to the other episodes. Of course, Maddie from the Callous Devils and Mark from Melt Before. Anyways, yeah, that was a fun episode. Andy, old school homie, as you can tell, he's doing a lot. I guess everyone that I talk to on the show does a lot of stuff. Maybe that's why I can relate to everybody, because that's what I do too, you know? Yep, the year is coming to a close. I did a little thankful gratitude post on my personal Instagram page. And if you are on Instagram, this show is on instagram.com/thefamilycast. And I have a bunch of links there. You can find a bunch of stuff, you know, merchandise and ways to help the show out. If you can find the means by which to do so, help the show out a little bit, you know, a couple bucks here and there helps a lot, actually, on a monthly basis, or just a one-time donation. It's a donation, it's a tip, but all the money just goes to supporting other charities that I work with, or buying records from the musicians or merch or whatever. So it's really, you're just, like I said, you're passing it through to the people I'm talking to. Yeah. So happy Christmas, Merry Hanukkah, all that kind of stuff. Whatever you celebrate. Yes. Awesome. Awesome. The year is coming to a close, like I said. So I'll probably maybe do a year-end wrap-up. Who knows? I might just release a bonus stuff. But whatever. I'm down for whatever, as you know. And it's been a good year for the podcast. I have lots of fun stuff coming up in the new year. And I might be getting some guest hosts and stuff like that too. So it's not just my voice that you're hearing. Ladies and gentlemen and everyone in between and stuff like that. It could be other people too. This is a collaborative effort, or I want it to be at least. I want it to be a community collaborative effort. And so we'll see what happens. But yeah, I appreciate all of you. Thank you very much. Share the show with a friend. If you're listening on Spotify or Apple or wherever they let you, if they let you do ratings, do it. I commend you for doing so. I'll read your rating on the air. Let me know you did it. DM me or email famcastpod@gmail.com. You know, you can find me everywhere. I'm literally everywhere. And I say that a lot. I also say a lot, check the show notes, because there's always fun stuff in there. I got links to stuff like, you know, discount codes for Liquid Death and Essex Coffee Roasters, Grumpy Chef Knives. All the discount codes are FAMCAST, FAMCAST. And there's links in the show notes and on my bio on Instagram, so you can link right to their websites and buy stuff. I got shirts and whatever. So you can, there's links in there. I'm telling you, there's links. There's always money in the banana stand, right? And to those of you who are, in need of any support yourselves or whatever, there's phone numbers out there. There's links out there. Let me know if you need any kind of mental, spiritual, physical support, whatever. I don't have a ton of money, but I can definitely help you in other ways. And I can steer you to people who can help you. I know the holidays can be tough on you, on your mental focus and everything like that. I feel you on that. So we're out here. We're here to help. You're not alone. And there's always somebody that is willing to listen to you or meet you where you're at, whether it's at your house or a coffee shop or whatever. There's always hope, and there's always something better than how you're feeling. If you're feeling bad, if you're feeling good, awesome. Spread that love to somebody else. Okay. I need it too. Spread love to me. Give me a hug. Just kidding, everyone. So Merry Christmas if I don't see you. Happy holidays. If not, I'll see you in the new year. I'll see you in the kitchen. Come by and visit. I'll feed you some family meal. And food and music is life. Yes. Yes, indeed. I'm Chef Josh. It's been real. It's been real fun. I'm going to end the show here with the pairing that I did with Andy's band, Ill Communication. Check them out. They're so awesome. And the song is called A Lecture in Survivability. And it's pretty cool that he wrote it for his kids. I found out in this show. See, I'm learning things. I'm always learning. So anyways, I'll talk to you later. Ciao, ciao.